is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is a wet Tuesday evening. This is your host, Kendani Campbell-Moss, and I am here with Italia Wilson. We are going to be speaking about the resilience, the triumph of a woman, the will, the dedication to survive, to beat all of the odds. But before we get started this evening, I want to say a happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers that are out there. And I also want to say that a lot of times we take our mothers for granted. And maybe if we had listened a little bit more, maybe if we had understood what was saying to us, maybe if we took the time to listen and didn't think that we always had the right answer, maybe things would be different. I want us to think about what May means to us. As a Roman Catholic, of course, you know, it's May, and we say our Hail Mary full of grace. A lot of people will poke fun and say that we pay homage to the Queen, but it isn't so much homage, but it is reverence, because she is the mother of our Lord and Savior. But I want to share an experience that I had with you on Sunday. I didn't make any preparations. I didn't make any real preparations to go to see my mom. I originally spoke to my good girlfriend and I said, can I get a wreath? And this was very late Saturday night or maybe Friday night. And I said, could I get a wreath? She said, Kenny, I will order it for you. And I never messaged her back to say, yes, get it. No, not to get it. Anything. And then throughout the weeks, I said, I would probably go to Mass. But I didn't go to Mass on Sunday. I didn't even pull out anything new. And I have loads and loads of things that I could get for my daughter because I like to make sure she looks good, you know, especially for church. You know, my mom put that in us. And on Sunday morning, I woke up to breakfast and bread. I got flowers from my daughter. I got flowers from Reuben. And I said, Reuben, I need you to find me the Christmas wreath. So he said, what do you need your Christmas wreath for? So I said, I need the Christmas wreath because I didn't get a wreath for mommy and I want to go to mommy. So he said, I know you would want to go to your mom. He said, I got the wreath for you already. And he had, when I came out into the kitchen, he had the wreath in my love seat and white roses for me to take to the grave to my mom. I want to say publicly, thank you so much to Reuben Craig Delaville, because Sunday was easier because of him. No one called and said, should we do this? Should we not do this? I didn't call anyone either. But Reuben made it easier for me. And I thank you so, so very much for that. He saw that I needed to get it done. He saw that I hadn't been in the graveyard in months because of an injury. But Reuben, thank you for making that possible for me. I thank you so, so, so very much. Thank you for that. This is another Sexy Tuesday, but we're going to dedicate this month of May to mothers and the resilience of mothers. And so I have on radio with me this evening, Italia Wilson. Italia is the CEO of iCandy. When I first started out in terms of thinking about makeup being done, when I was pregnant with Anai, I went to Italia and she beat that face to pieces. You can tell I was pregnant at my face. But you know, those are the days, and Italia, you are still number one. Recently, mm-hmm. I went to Eleuthera and your sister Beat the Face as well, because I hosted John Canoe and Eleuthera. But you ladies have a talent that is completely unmatched. But I want you to tell our listening audience, Italia, what is your story? How did you get into makeup?
How are you doing? I'm Candy Neek. And good day to the Bahamian public. So Candanique, listen to me. This is my story is, let me tell you, it's so long. It goes back to when I'm in primary school. I had a love for art. Me and my brother and my sisters. In fact, all of my mother's children, you know. All of us have a creative streak in us. My sister sings, and she does shirts, t-shirts. We all do t-shirts. My other sister, you know, Jaconda, she does some painting as well, drawing, and she does makeup. Only Vernita. We're working on Vernita now. She's the only one who doesn't have any gift per se, but she's trying to work on makeup. But my brother, he does drawings in Eleuthera. Along with his wife, she is a ceramic. She works with ceramics. So he's a teacher in North Eleuthera. Can you hear me, Kandini?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear. We can hear you clearly.
Okay. Yes. So it stemmed back from in primary school. My brother and I, we went to R.M. Bailey, where we did drawings with a teacher named Miss Barry. She's dead now, but with this Barry, she really encouraged us to draw. And so much so, I'm thinking I have this one memory with her. She enrolled me in a competition where BTC had a competition. And they said to draw a light bulb, and I didn't win the competition, but I placed like second in the competition. I placed like second in the competition, and she came with me. So then I went to I enrolled in with the cadet program. Cadet Corps program with the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And then I came on the police force for about 15 years or so. I think it was I was at a police sergeant when I retired, when I left the force. When I was a police officer, I didn't neglect my makeup, and what I did was I looked at Mac with John Bull. They had a deck of cards. Back in the day, and they painted people with these animals, and the models were naked, and it really intrigued me, and I said, you know what, I don't have to give up my paintings. In fact, I can paint on people, and I did just that, and in fact, it was there that a lot of people sought my services, but. People sought my services for my paintings on people, but they also knew that I could do makeup, and so I gravitated towards makeup. And in fact, a lot of the companies in Nassau sought my services. BTC, Atlantis, Bahamar, to name a few. They sought my services.
Tali, that is absolutely wonderful. I know coming to you as a younger woman, I mm-hmm. would just sit in the chair and you would just go to town on my face. And mm-hmm. you branched out from small beginnings. And I think when I first came home from university, I began to work at the Ministry of Tourism. And I worked with your mother. You know that I worked with your mom? Yeah, I worked with your mom.
And yeah, she told me to tell you that she still loves you, Candanique.
Oh, please tell her hello, and I love her right back.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I told her that I was going to be on your show, this evening. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. She was always a very good cheerleader. You know, she was one of the ladies that was more settled, but she saw the younger people coming. And she made way, like she taught us. Yeah. She said what to do. And she always said, "Now, Kennedy, wear your stockings." And I was like, "Listen, I'm into that." So, but she was one of the good ones. I have some more. I have some more questions, and I want you to know that people are very empathetic in terms of what your story is, because I tell you, your story is like straight up triumph. Can you tell us? Because I have so many questions. Persons of inbox questions, right? Tell us walk me through, if you can, how did you manage? Tell me, were you under stress? Were you not taking your pressure pills? Like, what happened?
Let me tell you, Candanique. Let me tell you, I had a gig, right? First off, back up a few minutes. Jaconda, you know, she celebrates every year with a party, a party of some sort. And this year, it was like 2021 or 2022, somewhere over there. She had us go to Spanish Wells, I think it was. Yeah, Spanish Wells. And she wanted us to swim with sharks. Can you believe that, Candanique? Swim with sharks.
We swam with the sharks,
not in cage. We didn't swim like, you know, all free. But we swam with the sharks. And right after coming back to Nassau, I had a headache. I had a headache for like 2 weeks, Candanique. And this headache, it was no easy headache. I mean, it was just pounding me so much so it affected my work. I couldn't work. I was at this gig, and they had to give me medication, pills for my headache. And I spoke to a lady, one of my clients, and she said, "You need to go to the doctor." And it affected my eye. My left eye was drooping. So I went to Chantalasha Knowles as my doctor. And she gave me some tests. And she didn't see anything. So she said she recommended me to go to Dr. Raming, the neurologist. So Dr. Raming, he gave me some tests. He gave me an MRI. To go and do. And I did the MRI. That's the round thing, right? Which you go into with noises in it, right? Sounds, various sounds at various frequencies. So that was I went and I did that test. And he ended up calling me at night, Candanique, at night.
Right.
You know, when the doctor calls you, is either good news or bad news?
Exactly, yes.
In this case, it was bad news. He said my left artery in my neck, my carotid artery, was blocked. There's no blood going from that artery to my brain. He said, but the blockage is very long. So he Dr. Sands. And Dr. Sands looked at it. And he asked, Dr. Sands actually, he showed me. He showed me the blockage. And he said, you know, only the good Lord, only God kept you. Because if this was had gone any other way, you would have been dead. You would have been dead. And Candanique, right then and then, I cried.
You knew.
Right. No, I cried. Because so my sister was there, was there with me. My best friend, she was in the hallway. They didn't allow her to go in. Only one person was able to go in. And he said, you know, you can do everything, you know, you don't have to limit yourself or whatever, but just take it in ease and take it in moderation. I went on there, and he also said that, not to let anybody convince me to remove the blockage because of where it was. So it's the block is between a bone just underneath the brain. It's very close to the brain. And that's where the block is. And so it's difficult, you know, because once you clear a blockage, you know, you have to clear it. You clamp it from the front end and the back end. And then you cut open the vein and you can just kind of remove it like that. But he said no, because of, you know, where it was, you know, that not to let anyone remove it. Yeah, so that was a very was some serious news for me.
So Tali, tell me something. Mm-hmm. After all of this would have happened to you.
Yeah.
What made you want to fight? I'm sure that there are days when you just wanted to lay down. You didn't want to do anything else. I saw some of the videos that you would have posted about your recovery and your rehabilitation. Some of the testimonies. What went on? I know that you have a fresh baby. What went on in your head to say to you, like, I have to get up out of this bed? Like, what happened?
But listen, now, this was in 2021. I never had the stroke until, like, 2023. I didn't have the stroke until 2023. So I was, like, up and about. It didn't affect me yet. But what happened was that I saw symptoms of it. So because at one point my right hand was numb.
Wow.
Right. And then I went to the doctor because I was weak. It was becoming very weak on my right side, and I said, "No, I gotta deal with this. Something ain't right." The PMH at one point, and it was there at PMH that it almost happened and I almost had the stroke. So much so I had to end up sitting in a chair. And it was at that point I went to the Cleveland Clinic. Cleveland Clinic ran a battery test on me. And they confirm, you know, that there is a blockage and whatever. And yeah, it was a lot. But Candanique,
yes.
Go ahead.
No, I wanted to know, okay, so like let me say this to you, right? What mm-hmm. intrigued me about your story, not even the fact that I'm familiar with who you are, but the fact that you were a stroke survivor. Because mm-hmm. my mom had a stroke, and I remember what led up to the stroke was the day before we were all doing our Christmas shopping. Right. And I said, Mommy, we were on Miracle Mile. I said, Mommy, you take your pressure pills? She said, yeah, I can take them. But I don't remember if she did or if she didn't. And then we got on we had already done the shopping, grocery shopping, got our Christmas clothes, everything. We'd done everything, her material. Mm-hmm. And we got on the flight. The flight was fine. Mommy was my friend Gabby at Nesbitt's. I went to have something to eat with Gabby, and then I said, anyway, I have to go back by mommy, get something out of the suitcase, because I was already married by then. And so I said, mm-hmm. I had to get something from mommy. So mm-hmm. when I got back to the house, I saw mommy was on the ground. Now keep in mind that my mommy 6 feet plus tall. So when I get on the ground, I said, mommy, what you doing on the ground? What you looking for? Mommy said, Kenra, I can't move. So I said, Jesus Christ. So I called the gate. The people at the gate came. They helped me put mommy in the car. We rushed to the hospital. But the stroke, mommy was recovering from the stroke, you know. Her mobility on her left side, it was like diminished. But her memory remained the same. She was very agile. And then mommy was getting better. So she did the therapy. She was okay. She retired from the bank. And then recently, mommy would have had the prolonged seizure. But when you said you had the stroke, it makes me wonder, like, how did you, like, what, like, were you not taking your pills? Like, I understand the backstory of it now, but it just makes you wonder, like, there's so many different people that have strokes and there's so many reasons as to why you have it, but the recovery of it, because I don't know if we have sufficient adequate care here when it comes up to stroke
recovery.
I don't think that the recovery here is what it needs to be. Now, these are some questions. Of course, you know the questions ahead of time because I would have shared them with you from the inbox. But is there a specific point that pushed you to want to get back in the studio or want to get back into Eye Candy?
Now, Kenneth, you know, Eye Candy is all I do. All I do. And that's, you know, that's my bread and butter. And so for me, you know, I had to get back. It was I had to get back. So for me, what it was I had to, you know, because I'm still trying to recuperate. So I have to be patient with my recuperation. With my hands and my legs, and I'm still having a little difficulty talking because I think it affected my speech as well, because I didn't talk as much as I'm talking now. And in fact, the lady at the therapy at Doctor's Hospital, she pointed that out to me. She said, Natalia, you know, at the first when you came to us, you know, you were just so shy and you didn't speak. But now, you know, you have so much words, you know. So for me, Kennedy, I had to get back because, you know, this is my business and it's only me, you know.
Well, I think that it's a triumphant exercise, I tell you. We mm-hmm. are going to go for a quick commercial break. Chris, okay. My wonderful engineer. Chris, thank you so much for always being there for me. I listen 3 minutes before sometimes the show starts, and Chris says, Kendanique, I'll have them ready for you. So I could not get this show done without Chris. Ladies and gents, give a virtual round of applause for Chris. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Chris, take us to break. We are going to be back in a few moments. You're listening to Kenny's Corner on Guardian 96.9.
You don't have to be afraid of what you are. There's an answer if you reach into your soul, and the sorrow that you know will melt away. And then a hero comes along with the strength to carry on, and you cast your fears aside. And you know you can't survive. So when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong. And you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you.
Your loyalty deserves royalty, and we've passed back to prove it. With 700 Advantage Plus, you'll get 5% cash back, exclusive event invites, VIP perks, and so much more. Ready to claim your crown? Visit our social media pages for the sign-up link or swing by any 700 Wines & Spirits location to get royally rewarded today. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 18 plus to join. 700 Wines & Spirits remind you to drink responsibly.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
It's time to give away a cruise. Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel wants to take you on a 7-day cruise for four to Panama, Colombia, Curacao, and Aruba on Royal Caribbean Serenade off the seas. And here's the best part. No visa required. That's right, no visa required. You have four ways to enter, four ways to win. Number one, fill out the form in the NASA Guardian. Number two, listen to Star 106.9. Number three, follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Number four, or make a purchase at any Going Places Travel. Entry deadline is June 27th, 2025. Drawing will be taking place on July 4th, 2025. So you know what that means? Pack your bags and get ready to soak up the sun and feel the ocean breeze. You and three loved ones sailing the high seas on a vacation cruise of a lifetime. Brought to you by the Guardian Media Group and Going Places Travel. Certain conditions apply. Airfare, taxes, and gratuities not included.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. But you're the key to my peace of mind. 'Cause you make me feel.
Good evening, ladies and gents. We are here on Kenny's Corner, Guardian 96.9, fresh news, smart talk all day. And my guest this evening is Italia Wilson. She is the CEO of iCandy. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the journey of healing in full glam. She is a stroke survivor, but she is not limited. She is not categorized by being someone that has had a stroke. Tell me what message you want to give to other women that may have had similar experiences, or what is your message to other women, other clients that sit in your chair? You have done it, and you have done it resoundingly. What message would you like to share with our listening audience?
So Kennedy, you know, I have my baby. She's 5 years old, and she's going to soon be six. She's going to be six. The 24th of June, this will be celebrating her birthday. And, I looked at her. Before I had the stroke, I looked at my baby and I just cried. And I cried. She said to me, "Mommy, why are you crying?" She said, "Why are you crying?" I just said, Dakota, I want to be able to be here for you. I don't think she understood what I was saying. But she said, "I just wanted to be here for you." And I was crying. I was just crying profusely, man. But what I would want them to know is that you have to be able to be strong and be strong in moments of in these moments, these hard moments, because to show your child that they can overcome anything that they face. So I get my baby ready every morning. I get her ready. I pack her lunch. And so she sees me doing. She doesn't believe or know that I had a stroke. She would say, Mommy, let me help you, when she would show off to other people. But she would tell me, Mommy, you could get my sippy cup. She'd tell me, you don't have no bad leg. She'd tell me, and she's right. Because she sees me getting up every single day. And she sees me going. She sees me going and getting and making a way for her. Even when I shouldn't, I make a way for her.
Dali, there are so many women in the
makeup artist.
Child, I had a ditzy moment just now. Okay, so there's so many other women in the makeup industry, right? Mm-hmm. And I always understand that you champion other women. Like, if you can't take someone, you'll say, "Hey, this is Tammy's number. Call Tammy."
Right.
How is it that you're able to be so fluid with your references? How is it that even though the market is so saturated, you all want to see everybody win? Talk to me about that.
Because I train people, and I train Tammy, and I train Savannah, Santina, and there's a lot. Let me tell you, I train so many people, so I'm confident. When I recommend anybody to use them, so I don't have any doubt that they're not capable. I have an absolute assurance that whatever they do is well done.
Tali, can you tell me in regards to the business and the mm-hmm. business of makeup artistry? What are some of the hardest lessons you've had to learn? Now, I'm on TikTok a lot, right? And there, every time you turn on, there's some new TikTok fad of how you should do makeup. You spread the setting lotion first, and you put magnesium on your face, and all of these different things. But what are some of the tricks you've learned in the business? What are some of the hardest lessons?
Well, hardest lessons. Oh. But look here, all your clients are loyal to you. So that's the first lesson, you know. So don't go just being all hopeful with any one person. They see other work out there, and so they're likely to go out there and get makeup from anybody, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. Well, that's the first lesson that I've learned. Another lesson could be, you know, we're in business with family, and you know, you have employees, and not all information is information to be shared. Employees, so make sure that whatever you do, it's under wraps, especially your financial situation. Make sure that is under wraps as well. As far as TikTok and Facebook and all that, Instagram and all those go, I know that makeup can be done like in several ways. All right. And what I would say is for you to just, work with one particular artist. All right. You're all over the place. And all these people pages and trying to see what they do, but just focus on just one particular person. You can actually go to them and for my, everyone applies their makeup differently. All of the techniques, right? Some people don't like eyeshadows. Some people don't like foundation. All right. Some people they're very skin aware. All right. So they want to know that whatever you do to your face, you want to make sure that your face is the first thing that they cater to. All right. So yeah.
I find that very interesting, Tali, because of course, like you said, you know, everybody, you know, don't go shopping around all over the place. If you find someone, stick with it. Mm-hmm. I want to also make mention of, and you tell me if this is too personal or if it's out of bounds. I know that you are a very married woman, but in terms of the stroke, let me read these texts first before you even get into that question.
Right.
Kenny, tell Tali that she is a triumph for us all. Kenny, tell Tali that this is her church, people. We want her to know that we're listening and we're very proud of her. We see the hurdles that she's come.
Okay.
This person says, Kenny, let Tali know that I've sat in her chair on more than one occasion. I'm not a religious person, but seeing her testimony, I do have some belief of the afterworld. Make her platform one that doesn't sleep in silence. Okay? Mm. Okay, so Tali, this question is for you. When it came up to your personal life and your sexual life, did it change at all after the stroke? Was it something that you had to relearn?
actually, no, because I remember for me, initially, my leg was, you know, was really was a bad, very bad leg. All right. I'd say that, very bad leg. And my hand was very, very, very bad, hand. And I say bad because, you know, I've been reading books and that's what they say to refer to it as, a very bad hand, a bad leg. Right. And so back then, about a year or so ago, sex for me would have been very difficult. But now, you know, we get it going on.
I say, call the police, make a move, make a move, make a move. I love that for us. So it was just like learning. It was just like riding a bicycle. You hopped off and you hop back on. And
yeah, man, for me. Yeah, that's for me, good. Yes, it was. In fact, just the other day, you know, because I'm a part of a stroke therapy group, and we had some incontinence. The theme was incontinence. I think there's incontinence.
It is incontinence.
Yeah. They showed us some different moves, especially with the sex moves.
So wait a minute. So they showing you all sex moves? I better get in on this class too.
Yeah. Yeah, man. They showed us some sex moves because, you know, but people with stroke or any other elicits, especially neurological issues. They may feel ashamed or uncomfortable, and with these stroke groups, they encourage us to, you know, that you don't have to be ashamed, that you could be yourself, and you know, you could do whatever you want to do, and you know, you're comfortable with that.
And you have to be comfortable with it, and the partner has to be able to understand as well. It has to be some comfort. Yeah, Tali. I love that. Now, when it comes, you mentioned that you being the CEO of iCandy, that is your bread and butter. You are an entrepreneur. Your husband is also an entrepreneur. You know, I got all my Good Friday fish from your husband, right?
Yes, mom. Okay.
And listen, when I get in there, I don't have to wait on no line. I don't wait on no line. They what you need, I get my onion or the little thing in the front. They have the peppers in the back.
Well, listen,
I always do. Always. Yeah. And I like hogfish. So I got a hogfish and they cut it up in steak. I mean, listen, and Tali, even though your husband has a fish house, it doesn't smell like fish.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't. Tali, it doesn't.
He's impeccable.
It's good. Now, when you talk about being an entrepreneur, right, Tali? What do you see that's happening in the makeup world that you haven't done yet? Or is there something that you want to try that you haven't tried as yet?
Yes. Well, lately they're doing the cluster lashes now. First it was the individual lashes. So now they're doing cluster lashes, meaning it's individual lashes, meaning like it's like several individual lashes onto one. And you could do like about five of them. So I've yet to try it already on Vernita. But I was a little shaky because I did it after the stroke. I have that to try, and then I also want to venture into hair blading. You know, they do microblading for your brows. Hair blading is for the hair. Yes.
So I only saw the hair blading where they have it for like people that do not have sides, like for the girls that wear the laced frontal or whatever you call it. I've seen the girls that have that, and then they look at like they implant it in your head, but it looks painful though.
Yes, but you know, there's always some level of pain with these beauty treatments that we do. But in addition to the girls with that damage their hair around the sides, is people who want to fill in certain areas of the hair. So alopecia, they can do hair blading as well.
Okay. This is a text coming in, Tali. Hey, Kenny, enjoying your show. LMK, the name of the fish house, please and thanks. Okay. I'm not sure who that is.
Ocean Blue.
Okay. We have a caller on the line. Chris, go ahead and add my caller, please.
Hello.
Good evening, caller. You're on.
Hey, Candy, how you do?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine. Let me say something before I say my other piece. Please tell them women who be putting them black shoes, messing up people's pillow and... In
I have an uncle. I have an uncle that does that. Actually, one of my mother's brother. Yeah, my mother's brother does it. I'm convinced that he uses Beijing black rinse because he has to be 70 plus years old, and he has blacker than my child's shoes.
And the other thing, it ain't only women. I want to know.
It's men as well, and he also has a jerry curl.
The other thing I want to know: Have you ever tried to airbrush somebody's face?
Tally?
You mean? Oh, yes, I've done airbrushing. I've done airbrushing.
No, what I'm saying is I want to change my features to go into somebody. Could you airbrush? I bring a picture like I want to look like this person. You airbrush that face onto my face.
But you also have to put on some prosthetics as well.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know how you do it. I do
all of that. I do airbrushing, prosthetic work. I do all of that.
Okay, because I saw it once before when the Wally boys had brought the thing with the queen. And
right.
I think my goddaughter, I think they had to airbrush her face good like that. So that is why that's why I asked if you've ever done.
Yes, I have.
So where is
the storm? And keep in mind, Tali also does Junkanoo faces. Tali does faces for Junkanoo, and she makes us look absolutely fantastic.
Okay, so where is your store, ma'am?
Say again?
Where is your store?
We're located on Jerome Avenue, Jerome and Edward Avenue, across from Classy Kids.
Okay.
I can't even make a store.
I'm familiar with Classy Kids. Okay, yeah. I need to bring my daughter in when she comes and let me see if
How
you can do
she?
Something with her. Huh?
How old is she? How old
She's
is she?
She's 27.
How old is she?
Huh?
How old is she?
27.
Okay, yes,
but she
yes,
works
sir.
Up on the key. So whenever she comes, I'll treat her to
makeup.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Just for the nice conversation that you're having. I'm enjoying it.
Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much for listening. But Tali, I want our listening audience to know too that Tali just doesn't do regular makeups for prom and housewarmings and events. Tali does like theatrical makeup. Tali, do you remember one Boxing Day you did pressure? And you did, I mean, you had pressure face. You only did the top of my, I think I was a green. I was something. You sprayed my face, Jesus, that never came off. I had to use oil and something else to get my makeup off. And then you did pressure. And I want you to tell the people, Tali, how they have to book you so far in advance. You are booked up Christmas Eve, New Year's. When you have to do faces, when do you start for Christmas Eve?
Jesus, when do I start? I have to start all day. I book them all day. I don't have for the last, was it 20 years now? I haven't had a Christmas. This was that serious for me. I haven't had a Christmas. I don't celebrate. I don't celebrate it. But New Year's Day. I don't celebrate it. I'm doing makeup in my store all morning.
It does take a lot.
I actually
but tell you, but where does your creative energy come from though? Because I mean, the things that you create, you put the little rhinestones on our faces and Tali, you have a gift. It is truly fantastic, I must say. I mean, I don't think that's something that I could do, right? But, I mean, it's awesome.
Thank you.
Chris, do I have another caller or can I read these messages? Okay, so let me read these messages for you, Tali. Tali, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been an awesome opportunity to hear your voice. Tali, we didn't know that you had gotten better. Thank you. Please post some more live videos. Tali, thank you for being with us today. You are truly a treasure. Okay, Tali, your people are Tali been sharing the flyer.
Yeah.
I mean, to all of the church people listening today, thank goodness I'm not talking about sex because I really don't want them to make me repent. Now, we have a few more minutes, Tali, so I want to ask you something. We are women of a particular age, and I want to know from you as a mother, as a visionary, in terms of reflection, because I know that there must have been days when you sat on your back or you laid back and you wondered, God, how am I going to do this? If you could speak to your younger mm-hmm. self, what would you say?
Boy. Let me tell you, I'm always thinking about it. When I first decided to leave the Royal Bahamas Police Force, this gentleman named Mr. Rule, he said, Natalia, don't leave, man. You could do the two. And I was like, no, I can't see myself doing the two. I gotta do one or the other. If I was my younger self, I'd stay away from that. Because when you get in situations like I've had, you know, it really wiped my finances clean. It wiped my finances clean. And so you think, if you had a retirement, if you were retired from the force or whatever, and you had insurance like that and blah, blah, blah. And it just goes on and on and thinking, what could have been, you know, if I had stayed.
Natalia, I want to say this to you. I have two friends, right? I don't really have any friends, but I have like two friends, and they always say to me, like, something happened last night, and they cuss me right out. I mean, they cuss me out to the dogs, and they gave me like a reality check because they're saying, like, the things that you're talking about don't make any effing sense. And I said, okay, no problem. But you talk about the fact that you were a police officer, and if this had happened to you, what would have happened? But Tali, what if it had happened to you on the force? And what if there was no way for you? They didn't give you sufficient time and sufficient leave to do what had to be done for your recovery. What if you didn't have a husband that stood by you and made sure that everything was okay? What if you didn't have a mother? Like, sometimes we think about what the worst is, but we don't think about the flip end of what the best is. Like, I wish I had a regular job, right? Mm-hmm. I wish I had a regular job making six figures and all these other great things. But what if I had that when my mom was alive? I wouldn't have had the opportunity to spend time with her. What if I had that when I had to do stuff with an eye because to go to a swim meet and all of these other things? So we have to look at it and think of the positive, because Tali, based on the comments that are in our chat, you are a testimony to so many other people.
Yeah.
And a lot of times women see us or people see you, but you don't know who emulates you or who is so happy that you made it out, Tali. And
yeah,
I mean, I couldn't imagine you as a policeman. I've seen some police women and they are not attractive in the face. You would have been, I mean, there's one police woman I've seen. I mean, she's beautiful. And then there's Ayer's wife, but she's the commissioner. She is beautiful. And Miss King, Sherrick King, we went to SAC together. But there are not too many pretty. I mean, they just don't. I don't. Do they tell y'all not to fix yourselves up? What do they tell y'all?
No, they don't. They don't tell us that at all.
Oh, and then I have two prison officers. My friend Shannon Sherman, and I have another friend that works in the prison. Ayer's wife, I think she works in the prison. I mean, they have nice bodies and beautiful faces. Like, they really look nice. But some female officers, I don't know if they take on the tone of being masculine, but it is not it. I wish we could do like when you see the female officers everywhere else, they look refined and molded, and their hair is coiffed very nicely. Maybe you could do
everywhere else, like where?
Like Barbados, like St. Kitts and then the Grenadines, like they look very groomed, Tali.
I beg to differ.
Man, I beg to differ. Show me some pretty ones, and show me some pretty ones here.
I'll show you.
I know more than enough. Okay, and then there's one lady that was with me. She did something mm-hmm. with public service. She's really light skinned. I don't remember her name, but you know who's pretty too? Mikkel Pinder. Mikkel. Right. Mikkel always looks good. Mikkel always looks good.
Yes.
And then there's another bright skinned one that wears khaki. She always looks good too. But man, you gotta fix them up.
Yeah.
Fix them up, Dali. Fix them up.
Well, I tried, you know. I've been trying.
Dali, make a more conscientious effort to do that.
Okay, I got you.
Please. I want to say something. On Sunday, when I went to see because mommy always talk these like weird stories, right? And everyone knows that like, we would say, oh, Kendra, when you go on TV, don't be showing your big teeth. Or Kendra, act normal. Like, when the junk gonna come, like she always had something to say. So all of my friends and most of Facebook, they know my mom. So the graveyard was locked. I don't know who's locked the graveyard on Mother's Day, but the Catholic cemetery was locked. So I had to get into the cemetery, and I'm on crutches. Dali, I had the two crutches, and I had the wreath, and I had the wreath hook around my shoulder, and I was hopping down, just me in the new part. So I had to go all the way down. But I want to say thank you to Danny and her son. The son goes to Xavier's with my daughter and I. And they were there, and the little boy came and he held me. He said, my mommy said, if you need anything. And he went back and he got the white roses out of the car for me. And when I opened the show, I told you I didn't have a wreath. And if it wasn't for Ruben purchasing the wreath and making sure that I had my white roses for my mom, I would not have had a wreath, nor would I have had flowers. But there was one lady that was on my live, Miss Anderson. She has a consultancy service and a mental health wellness agency. And I've never met this woman in real life. We've only had conversation on the on the phone or on WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. And so she came to the graveyard to me. Tali, that woman came to the graveyard and she sat with me and she rubbed my back and she said everything is going to be. And I do not know this woman. I do not know her. But I want to say that there are angels out there. There are people that will stand in the gap for you.
Let me tell you.
Based on the messages and the texts that have come for you, people are pulling for you. They are rallying for you, Dali. And they could not have waited for you to get back. You know, Ms. Anderson, thank you if you're listening. I just want to say thank you so much. Thank you for standing in the gap for me. The grief journey is something very different and very difficult to traverse. But I want to say thank you. Tali, I'm going to give you the last 30 seconds. Is there anything you'd like to leave with our listening audience?
No. Just that whenever anyone is going through any dire circumstance, just to gravitate toward family and friends, let them know and be encouraged and know that you can get out of that situation. God can see you through, and He sees all His kids, all of His children through dire situations.
Sally, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. This is Kennedy Campbell Moss, and you've been listening to Kenny's Corner. That Moss is going to change, by the way, in my listening audience. That Moss is going to be dropped very shortly. So it will not be Moss any longer. I just want you. So that's going to change in short order. But this has been Kennedy Campbell Moss, and we're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9, fresh new smart talk all day. Now get your popcorn for those of you that want to get your names changed as well. Get your popcorn, get your wine. This is another sexy Tuesday. This is 10 toes underneath the blanket weather. Ladies and gents, this is another sexy Kenny's Corner. Have a wonderful evening.
Hang my head from sorrow so much. State of humanity.
try to find the strength in me. Why's that? 'Cause I am a superwoman. Yes, I am.
Yes, she is.
Yes. Still when I'm a mess, I'm a just, oh yes, I'm a superwoman.
That's right.
This is for sun, yeah.